Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is Jonathan, our producer and resident tech dude.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is Ryan, our co-host. He is the number one Disney dude.
What's happening, homies?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. We're afraid to admit that we just had so much technical difficulties, we had to restart the show.
Listen, nobody will ever understand some of the things that we go through. And we should tell people about this, because if you don't YouTube or podcast or whatever, you have no idea the things that go on. And I'll take the blame for this one. My whole computer just said, you know what? We're not going to podcast today. And just decided to stop. So this is a take three at this show at this point.
It is. And it was interesting. Tech guy here actually had to play tech guy.
Yeah, it's nice. We appreciate, you know, the balance of that tech dude. But look at, you know, we thought we'd tackle a topic today. You know, we've been talking lately on a recent shows about how crazy Disney fans are. And it's an interesting lot. And we'll admit that we're part of that lot. But, you know, Disney fans aren't fearless. Sometimes they're afraid. And in this show, they're afraid to admit some things. And we wanted to explore this topic, is that, you know, sometimes if you're such a strong fan, you're afraid to admit certain things about Disney World as a loyal fan. And that's our topic today. I know, Ryan, you could give us a great example of, you know, a topic that our loyal Disney World fans is taboo.
I don't know what you're talking about, Carl. I love everything that everybody loves at Disney World. I certainly love Dole Whips. Certainly love Dole Whips. They are my favorite. I go to Disney just to have Dole Whips. I sprinkle some churros on top of them. And I have myself a day. Best day ever.
I know. That's it. You know, there's a great example, right? You know, a true Disney fanatic would be afraid to admit that Dole Whips are overrated. You know, it's kind of like the old classic fairy tale, the emperor has no clothes, right? We've talked about it, you know, that Dole Whip has no taste. You know, it's just pineapple ice cream. Everyone's making a big fuss. But I really wanted to explore the other side of that, which is, you know, why are people in general, this will apply to all the topics that we talk about, why are they so afraid to admit something may be true? It's the perception, right, of other Disney fans would have of them.
Or Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely social media. Social media is playing a big factor into it. I mean, come on now, let's be real here. Someone posts a picture of a Dole Whip, you're getting probably at least a 50-50 either way. And people don't want to be bashed on social media. So that's why a lot of people go that way.
You know, but I think, you know, since we're exploring the world of Dole Whip, I think I'm going to go back to like season one. We did an episode on snacks, right? And I was on Twitter and I knew we were going to talk about Dole Whip. So I thought it would be fun to find everybody that had Dole Whip in their Twitter, right? And follow them and friend them to try to get them teed up to come listen to the show. And when I found all these people with Dole Whip, you know, handles, if you will, on Twitters, and I looked at them, that they had like zero followers and they were following 5 or 10 people. It was like there was really not that many people centered around Dole Whip.
Except Dole Whip Dad, right? I think he's like the one.
Right.
I think he's the one that's got the big group, but Shout out to Dole Whip Dad, who I don't think knows us at all. But hey, we know you.
But there really is a lot of people out there that I thought were going to go crazy. It's like there's 17 versions of Orange Bird out there too, right? And, you know, so Orange Bird was originally tied to Dole Whip. I thought there would be, you know, a big following. And I think I picked Dole Whip and got no votes. So, you know, there's a proof that you really Dole Whip is overrated.
You got a couple votes specifically for Dole Whip. You did. Specifically for it. That's the thing, is it's like there are people that are so hardcore Dole Whip. That's the person you're afraid to run into, because they're going to shout you down about how amazing Dole Whip is. And meanwhile, there's a driving range 15 minutes from my house that I can legitimately get a Dole Whip at, and I don't need to go to Orlando, Florida for it. You know, like I think that's where people get me confused with it, right? Is like, it's not that I hate it. It's just that it's not Disney. Just because you can get it at Disney doesn't mean it's purely Disney. You know, like to me, purely Disney is some of the crazy wonky stuff they have there, right? Not Dole Whip.
Yeah, look at Dole was a big sponsor of, you know, Tropical Serenade, the Enchanted Tiki Room, when this happened, and they had their concession. And I got to admit, you know, the first time I tasted it as a kid, I was impressed. I'd never had it before. And the first time I had it was there. I never went to the pineapple plantation in Hawaii to taste where it was from, right? And I think a lot of people were introduced to it from there, and it was a novelty. But as Dole realized, hey, we can make a lot of money here, they started selling it, you know, to everybody, and everyone could make it, you know? So it was no longer a unique Disney thing. And that's it. It's kind of the uniqueness wears up. So that's our point here. And we talked a little bit about this subject, but that's our point. If you're a fanatic about something associated with Disney World, you may be afraid to admit something controversial around that. I'll give you another one and we can kind of go around the table. But, you know, here is another one that is, you know, very controversial on social media, you know. An attraction changes, and it changes for the better, but a lot of people are afraid to say, I like that IP overlay better than the original attraction, because the fear is everyone's going to say, whoa, why did they change it? The original was so great. And sometimes the IP does a better job with that attraction.
I didn't know you loved Frozen so much, Carl.
Let it go, Ryan. Let it go. No, well, there's an example, right? I could care less about the attraction, and I did like Maelstrom better, right? So that I would be falling into that. But if you look technically at that ride, the animatronics and the projections and the special effects in the new one are much more impressive from a technical standpoint than the original one. I mean, you know, when a snowman talks to you, sings dance, and moves along the ride with you, you know, the Vikings weren't doing that. The Vikings were just kind of waving at you as you went by in the boat.
We're on a podcast, Carl. People can't see you. For the record, Carl is waving in the background. I mean, you're right, right? So, like, I don't think any of us are going out of our way to get on the Frozen ride, but that's the purpose. And I think like, to drive this home further, and the reason people drive at it, you know, Maelstrom, like, oh my God, it was the greatest thing ever. But I've said this a million times. There was a 5-minute wait to get on Maelstrom for how long, right? You stopped going to the attraction. If it was so great, why did you stop going? You know, and therefore they said, okay, it's time to replace it. And then that's why that, and then it becomes that fear to talk about it, because now all of a sudden you're a bad guy, because God forbid you looked at the real fact that was nobody was going on the ride, you know, and it's a hard thing to do.
Well, and the other part of it is they're going on the ride, and then the cultural representatives who were there from Norway, you went to a little movie afterwards and everyone was blowing through the movie. They would leave the doors open to it all the way to and from it. It used to be you had to go in and stop and see a 5-minute movie and go through, right? And a crowd would assemble on the dock in Maelstrom and go rotate in. Well, people didn't want to do that. So they left the doors to the theater in and out, and people would just kind of walk through. And I'm a cultural rep and like, hey, this is my country, and you could care less, right? So it continued to be a 5-minute wait because people could rip through there. But the other thing about that attraction is when it first opened up, they were giving out rain jackets because the storm in the Nordic Sea was careening over the oil rig and you'd get soaked like a real water ride, right? And they toned it down and they start, you know, as Disney does, they start toning down the attractions from their original plan and they're less impressive, right? And so again, yeah, 5 minutes, there's going through, what can we do here? You know, there's an example. I'm sure we can think of other IP examples where the IP is probably a little bit better than the original attraction, but people are afraid to admit it.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I'm just trying to get under people's skin now. But
right.
I enjoyed the Great Movie Ride. I really did. But it was, for those of us in the Midwest, and I know we have a bunch of listeners that are from Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan. If you've been to the Wisconsin Dells and ridden the duck tour, they hire an 18-year-old and he goes on the ducks and he tells lame jokes worse than his Jungle Cruise skipper jokes. And then he asks you for a tip at the end because he's a poor kid in college, right? That's exactly what it felt like going on the Great Movie Ride. Is instead of a duck, you're in a tour bus and looking at all these old aging animatronics, right? What they did, even with the screen technology, which I'm not a huge fan of, but even with the screen technology with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is superior to what that was. And it's hard to admit that because the lovers of the Great Movie Ride would murder me for doing that, but Mickey and Minnie needed a freaking attraction. For Christ's sake, it's Walt Disney World. Mickey needs to be somewhere.
I honestly am surprised it took them that long to give them an attraction.
Well,
but that's a different, I mean, that's for a different day, I think. That's
maybe for a different day, but you got to remember when Disney first was operating, they used to only have one Mickey out at a time anywhere. Seeing Mickey was supposed to be the magic, right? So just keep that in your mind, because that's probably part of that logic was not to have a ride there or an attraction there.
In any ways, you know, again, and it may not be the IP associated with it, might be the overhaul. You know, you go back to a lot of the Epcot original attractions, they're a shell of themselves, right? They no longer look what they are. I mean, the World of Motion became Test Track. And Test Track's a fan favorite, you know, but in the beginning when it happened, people were still pining for the World of Motion, you know, and there's still people who never saw the World of Motion who are go online and social media and say, oh, that was a superior attraction. And it, you know, that was ripped out before they were born. So they don't know.
How about Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout over Tower of Terror in Disneyland? I mean, that the S storm, it's a family show, so I'm going to say S storm that hit when they said that they were going to change that was incredible. And then they open it and there's a 10-hour line, right, to get on it. And it's amazing. And I think anybody who complained about it back then would actually still say Guardians is probably better because it is. But there was a time where it was impossible to have that conversation with somebody. And I feel like that's a big thing, too. It's just having a dissenting opinion about something that's not even open yet is another thing you're afraid to do with Disney, right? Like people get so worked up about something because they read it on a blog or on Twitter or on whatever social media that they like act like they've experienced it already and they make judgment on it before they experience it. And I definitely always get cracked back on when I'm like, can you just like pause and go see it before you make judgment? You know, maybe you're right, but like, let's see it first. Cinderella's Castle. We don't talk about Cinderella and castles very much here. Okay. But Cinderella's Castle, when they painted it pink, people freaked out. Mm-hmm. And then when people saw it for themselves, they're like, oh, it's actually pretty cool. Looks pretty good. You know, that kind of stuff is what I'm talking about. People get afraid of too.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They're afraid to admit that change can be good. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's since we're talking so much about the attractions and the changing of it, let me go to like reverse side of that equation. Sometimes big fans of Disney are afraid to admit, I'm not a fan of insert attraction here. Right. I'm not a fan of the Jungle Cruise.
Yes, you are. Stop lying, Carl.
Old face lie.
I am. But, and I would challenge anyone who said it. No, but there's people who are not. You know, there are people who are just not fans of it. And okay. But they're afraid to say it because it's an original, it's a classic, you know, and they don't want 57 skippers on social media jumping on them. So,
well, I think the big one that I've always said that I've gotten some flack for is I say tear out Swiss Family Treehouse, and I say tear out the camels, you know, the camel and the flying carpets of Agrabah, and get rid of them and replace it with a genie themed ride. And people are like, you can't get rid of Swiss Family Treehouse. And I'm like, because it's got the greatest views of the park. Wonderful. Build a really tall ride. You can still get the views of the park. Oh, yeah. But I get for that. People are like, you can't change the nostalgic stuff because that's not what Walt would have wanted.
Yeah. No, on those same lines, I'll admit. I mean, I know there's some folks that will want to tear me apart for this one, especially my wife, but I'm not a fan of Peter Pan. Honestly, it needs an update. I'll be honest with you. It does need an update, in my opinion. Again, my wife hears this. She's going to be ready to murder me, and I'm going to be sleeping on the couch for a while. But we'll cross that bridge when that happens.
Hang on. I'm texting your wife.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I mean, it's not that I disagree with you. I will say, it's been updated 4 times. So if we're going to update again, you're right. It's probably time to go, right? Once you're at update number 5, maybe it's time to go. But I will tell you this. My daughter, who's 4, says it's her favorite ride still.
There's definitely a lot of folks that do say that, though. That's the only downfall.
And what I'm telling you is that, like, you're not wrong with what you're saying. It's a fear to say that because people still find that as their favorite rides, even though it's... Probably, is it the oldest attraction in the park at this point, or one of the oldest attractions in the park?
No, it's there's still, you know, 7 or 8 original opening day attractions. So there is no one single oldest attraction.
Yeah.
But you know, you bring up the good point. Look at, you know, in general, you know, there's a lot I'm not a fan of, and it has to do with Fantasyland. But I'll give you one more topical that would really, if you're you'd be afraid to say, is, you know, I'm not a fan of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And people are like, go nuts on me when I say that. You know, it's not that far off. It's a kiddied down version of Big Thunder. And, you know, it's clever. The inside seat is clever, but I'm not a fan. And the reason I'm not a big fan of it is I don't want to wait an hour and a half for that. Right? That's part of it. There's a disproportionate payoff for the amount of time having to wait into an attraction. You know, Flight of Passage is big on people's list. You know, I'm not going to wait 2 hours to go on Flight of Passage. So
I don't want to wait 120 minutes to throw up because I get motion sickness on Flight of Passage. It's amazing. It really is. It's an awesome ride, but I won't ride it because of that. It's too long of a wait to stumble. If I could drink, I'd rather drink for 2 hours and then throw up from drinking. That's yeah, different show.
You know, Disney fans have to, you know, be a little bit more appreciative of each other. And if you're true fans, have that conversation. And go back and forth on why you'd like something or don't like something, and don't be afraid to admit it. You know, look it, because it all comes down to opinions. And as my father used to say to me, opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got them and most of them stink.
Your father, my grandfather, my grandfather's father, his father. That one's about as old as you, Carl.
Well... So there you go. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. Don't be afraid. You're not going to get crucified. And if someone does jump down you and crucify, it's probably some young whippersnapper.
Yeah, what'd you say?
So what are some other examples, guys, of things that true Disney fans are afraid to admit or say to another Disney fan?
So one we kind of vaguely touched on it that I'll say is there's definitely a large group of adults that are afraid to admit they're Disney fans. I've myself discovered this. Like, I know the three of us, we're not afraid to admit it. A lot of the folks that obviously listen to our show, they're not afraid to admit it, but there are a lot of adults that are afraid to admit, yeah, I like Disney and I like going to Disney a lot. Because again, Disney is a park that's supposed to be for children, which clearly it's not just for children, it's for everyone. But at the same point, you get a lot of folks that are out on the internet that said, Disney, it's for kids. It's not for adults. Adults don't belong there.
It's a misconception. We can go into how Walt wanted to make it a multi-generational park, and that was the whole purpose, was that it wasn't just for kids. You know, again, probably for another show. But I agree with you. I've had a few examples of these, but for me, I avoided it in college. I avoided talking about it. You know, it just wasn't, I didn't feel comfortable enough in my own skin to admit that I was a Disney fan in that stage of my life. And what's one of the funniest things that happened as a result of that was when we started doing the podcast, a friend of mine who listens to Disney podcasts, who I knew through a mutual friend in college, found our podcast and then reached out to me. He's like, I've known you for 8 years and I had no idea that you were a Disney fan, much less big enough fan to be on a podcast doing it, you know? And I was like, yeah, I kind of hid that portion of my life, you know? And now we talk about it all the time, which is great. You know, it was a misconnection in college that I could have had, but you know, I think that's part of it, John, is there's a stigma, right?
Oh, there's definitely a stigma.
There's a stigma to it as an adult, much less as a male adult, right? Much less as a teenager, you know? And it's a stigma I think we've been trying to do away with here with this show, right? That's one of the main goals of our show, is to show that Disney can be for a bunch of type A masculine dudes, just like it can be for anybody else.
Yeah, Disney can be cool if you do it right, you know?
As long as you don't call them whippersnappers.
I think that comes out of Carl's mouth every other third sentence.
Yeah, he's playing up to his role. He really is. I've beat him over the head so much about being old that he just became old. There you go.
All right, so now let's get some more current topics, you know, that are more topical today and are challenging to put out there. Oh, Ryan, give us another example of something that they're afraid to admit.
I feel like you just asked me, Ryan, name something that you've pissed people off on Twitter about. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm not afraid to get into it. Maybe that's my hard part with this topic is because I did hide it for so long, I got to a point where I was like, I'm not hiding anything anymore. And, you know, I don't hold back. But, you know, I think... I don't know, man. I don't know what to say on this one.
I'll give you one that you've.
Yeah, go ahead. Lead me, please, because I don't know what's going to go with.
I know. Here, if I'm a fan of Disney, I might be afraid to admit that Disney is getting too expensive.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit that it's getting too expensive, right? And that's the thing, is what I'm the opposite. I think people are more than happy to admit that it's too expensive. And I'm in the opposite camp, where I'm not afraid to tell you Disney is not a rite of passage. It never was. That was in your mind. It was never the case. When I was a kid, Disney was expensive. Well, Carl, when you were a kid, Disney was expensive. Yep. Everybody wants to point back to 1955 and how Walt said that he wanted that for whatever, right? Guess what, folks? It's 2022. The old man's been gone for a while. Okay, we got to stop living on that. You need to start understanding that it costs $13 million a day to operate those parks. And they're going to make a profit, because regardless of your rite of passage, they are a business. And that's what they do, you know? And I think that's a place I catch a lot of flack for it, right? I've been very open in the fact that, like, I will pay more money to make sure that the cast members get paid more, right? I have zero problem with that. They should get paid more. I don't care whose pocket it comes out of. They should get paid more. But you can't expect those things to happen, and then you pay less at the gates.
Right. And I think the fans, Ryan, that are too afraid to admit that it's too expensive usually have to justify it, right? In other words, I might be a DVC member and I'm vested in it. So I can't say, oh, no, it's not too expensive. And maybe for me, I've done a calculation in my head over the lifetime of ordering, you know, the timeshare, and it's not as expensive, right? And that's how I justified it. But they're afraid to admit that is expensive because people look at them and say, wow, for the amount you spend on, you know, Disney. And when I say Disney, I lump it all together, not just a vacation and everything comes with it, but people buy stuff on the internet and shop Disney and clothing and, you know, and be, and go to D23 shows and collect stuff and fight over popcorn buckets. I mean, I'm lumping all of that in the expense, right? The people, because if some people who are real fans spent an absurd amount of money on it, ridiculous amount of money, probably money that he can't afford. And so for them to admit that it's too expensive, it spoils all of their passion.
I mean, I guess I see that perspective, right? I do see that perspective, but to me, life is all about value, right? And I think that's the place that maybe people are afraid to talk about it, that perspective is like, if the value of your life, if Disney is what makes you happy and you're willing to pay anything for that, value is greater than cost, you know? And I could take this show down a major different rabbit hole with this conversation, so I'm going to try not to. But essentially what I'm saying is I get where you're coming from. They have to feel like they have to justify that cost. But if they can justify that cost, then who cares? Who cares? If you can't justify the cost, then don't go.
Well, it's comparative too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you're a season ticket holder to the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
And you do a calculation on that and you don't think twice about it. That's your thing. You enjoy it. And it's probably worth every penny.
It's worth every penny. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not cheap. It's by no means not cheap. I'm just thinking now, we've had tickets for 2 decades. Just doing the math on that. Ugh. But yeah.
So what's the average price range? If I was going to go like, you know, middle seats in any professional sports game and go for a 2-hour, 3-hour, 4-hour block of entertainment, right? If I got there early and stayed to the end, you know, what would I pay for a ticket these days on any sporting event?
I feel like you just said, John, what kind of debt are you in right now?
Well, other than dealing with pro sports for my full-time job that I get to watch for free, for the 3 tickets we have, it ranges, depending on the game, anywhere between $700 and $900. I mean, that's just for the tickets. That's not including parking. That's not including beers, food, all that other stuff. So, I mean, it's not a cheap day.
So it's in that case, right? It's a couple $100 a person, right?
At least,
right? For 4 hours of entertainment.
Yeah.
In a game.
Oh yeah.
You know, and not including, like you said, what you spend before and after. Okay. So a average park opens at 8 or 9 in the morning and closes at 8 or 9 at night. So there's 12 hours and a ticket is $120, $130 a ticket. So I spend $130, about half the price as I would on a ball game, for 12 hours of entertainment versus the 4 hours of entertainment at a ball game. So like you said, Ryan, if it's important to you and you get value out of it, it's there. But I can make an argument for someone who says, oh, it's too expensive, just like that. What is your thing? Sports events and everything. I'm a big skier. You know, beginning of a ski season, 2-3 trails are open. They say 6 trails and it's really 1 trail, right? The cost of that ticket is still, you know, I went out west and the daily cost was $160, whether the whole mountain was open or 2 trails were open. It was $160. Now, again, that's more comparable because there's probably 8 to 10 hours worth of entertainment there. But that $160 is still more than the $120 I'm playing at Disney. And I'm not freezing my backside off at Disney.
Yeah. And well, not always, every once in a while. But I make the same argument for Dave and Buster's, right? Like gaming centers, you go and you spend 4 hours and you spend $80 a kid after 4 hours to feed them, and give them 4 hours of playing video games, of which they're not going to do anything with but walk away with some cheap $5 toy, right? That's it. But you extend that over 12 hours instead of 4 hours, and that would have cost you $240. Now take that and compare that to a full 12-hour day at Disney. You overspent at Dave and Buster's compared to Disney. At Disney, you would have spent on a premiere day $160 maybe, right, for that day. And you would have walked away with a lifetime of memories for that one day, and it would have cost you less per hour than what it would have cost you at Dave and Buster's, you know? And that's the thing is it is all about that value. Like you said, Carl, you can find that and tell that to people, but people that are stuck on it don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that at all.
And the food at Disney is much better than Dave and Buster's, just saying.
I don't even want to eat the food at Dave and Buster's.
All right. We're going to get a lot of, you know, social media attacks from the people that we're talking about, but other examples that of things that real true Disney fans are afraid to admit. I'm going to throw out one. If I'm a real hardcore Disney fan, I might be afraid to admit that I love Universal.
I feel like that's gone away in recent years. I think more and more people are becoming fans of Universal, which I think is great. They should love both. But yes, yeah. I think it's actually more the opposite now, to be honest with you. I think Universal fans now are afraid to admit they love Disney, as weird as that is. But yeah, that is something for a long time. It was a stigma. Like it was one or the other, not both.
Right. And I, you know, all these people are moving to Orlando these days, including some of our fan base. They're not moving there just for the four parks at Disney. I mean, there's six theme parks and soon to be seven or eight, depending on how you want to count them between, you know, Tampa and Orlando. So yeah, there's, it's okay. It's okay to like both, right? It's okay to admit that the folks down the road have upped their game, right? And let's get, here's one, I'm going to go more specific and let's see if I can get some controversy going here, right? As a true Disney fan, I'm not afraid to admit it, but some people are. Harry Potter's Wizarding Worlds is better than Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
I mean, you can be wrong too. I mean, that's just, sometimes you can just flat out wrong. But, you know, that's why you're afraid to talk about it, because you're wrong. Sometimes when you're wrong, you're afraid to talk about things.
Right. So, you know, we'll put the two rides, the bar, and a couple of fast food stands up against, you know, five rides, three bars,
hang on,
great restaurants.
Don't go too far down this rabbit hole. I see a future show in our future, right? Here. I see, yeah, a show topic in our future. Ladies and gentlemen, tune back in later for Star Wars versus Harry Potter. And John, you can be the judge. Carl, let's go.
Ding, ding.
Well, unfortunately, that show, I think I'm going to have a lot more to talk about than you, because, you know.
Just because you use more words doesn't mean you have more to talk about.
Well, there's your soundbite. Okay. Yeah.
Got to get one.
But I mean, that's something that, you know, if you're a Star Wars fan, you have, and I'm just saying, if you get down to, and you could do that for anything, right? You could compare, you know, Dino Land to Jurassic Park at Universal, right? Anything comparable. You could compare, you know, Fantasyland to Dr. Seuss Island, right? Anything comparable, you could have that one way or another. And people would be afraid to admit, if they were a fan of one and they went to Universal specifically, that they might like this a little better, right?
Hey, John, Peter Pan or E.T.?
I'm going E.T., honestly. I mean, both of them are outdated, but E.T. It's
phone home. E.T. Phone home. All right. Hey, Carl, John, I think you got a point there.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
E.T. versus Journey into Your Imagination.
Why would they, why would you even ask
me like that? Do not do me like that.
Why would you even ask that? We know what the answer to that question is.
No, but it's there's an example. He'd be afraid to admit that the attraction or ride is more interesting or better special effects than the, because he's a loyal Disney Figment fan.
Do not put anything up against Figment. That is not fair.
I can put everything up against him. it's fine. All it takes is a little spark.
There you go.
I got one, Carl. I got something that people are afraid to admit. Hardcore Disney fans are afraid to admit. They're afraid to admit when they haven't done something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody that's a Disney fan, you get involved in the culture and then you're afraid to say, oh, I've never done that before, because it's like, how could you never do that before? Philhar Magic was that one for me, right? I never talked about it. I just never did it. I don't like going into the shows unless it's Festival of the Lion King. For the most part, I don't really care about the shows, right? That's just me. That's who I am. So I never went into the show. And I will never forget the first Zoom that we had for during the pandemic. And we all got together as Magic Vacation Planners. And I was like, yep, never been on it. I must have had 32 people at one time crash down at me. Like, how dare you never see that show? And I got to be honest with you. I've seen it since, because peer pressure is a bitch, right?
And we brought you on it. Yeah.
I would have been okay never seeing that show. I would have been fine. I would have been totally fine. You know, but it is. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, you've got this reputation as a Disney person, and how dare you not know something in the parks because you hadn't experienced it.
Now, since you went on it, did you expose your kids to it?
Yeah, I did. I did. And that was always, if you remember, I always said that. I was going to wait for my kids to take them to that. But yeah, they didn't really care about it either.
Okay.
For my kids, well, you know.
You're a bit of a Donald Duck fan, so I thought you would have got more out of it, but
yeah, I am a Donald Duck fan for my grandfather, you know, he loved Donald Duck, but it's not that I hated it, right? And that's, again, it's like Dole Whips for me. It's not that I hate it. It's just not, that's not what I go there for, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather go on the attraction, the rides, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, to me, that, you know, anything that you're going to be entertained, the medium by which Disney entertains, you know, whether you're in a theater, and there's a lot of theaters to go in, it is probably as equal as, at one time, not so much now, but, you know, there was equal amount of theater attractions. Then there, look, let's face it, there's at least one theater attraction in every one of the Magic Kingdom lands, right? There's at least one theater attraction, and they're not people's favorite ones. It's just a different way to be entertained. But again, getting back to Walt's Park and making it something for the whole family, that's something that the grandparents can go on. I had a group go to Disney last week, and the grandparents are like, yeah, the kids are really going to the rides, but, you know, we're still going to the, you know, fill in the blank, that attraction, right? That's in a theater, because they could handle it. And that was kind of part of the way to... I like them because they absorb big crowds. I wish more people went on them, because then there'd be, you know, less crowds, but people are less fascinated with the theater attractions now, Country Bears, Tiki Room, Carousel of Progress, et cetera. And they're not the crowd suckers they used to be.
Tiki Room, there's a reason for that. It sucks.
And right next door, the Dole Whips are.
Yeah, that whole area sucks. Get rid of it all. Put my genie right.
Camels too. Get rid of the camels too.
Get rid of the camels. I mean, I do like that they spit, you know. But besides that, get rid of all of it. Put in my genie roller coaster. Pay homage to Robin Williams already.
All right, so I got one for our tech dude, right?
Uh-oh.
If you're a real fanatic about Disney, everything they can do no wrong. You know, they're just wonderful. I might be afraid to admit that the new technology is just too much. They keep advancing it like crazy. You know, now the new Genie system, the mobile order, the Magic Mobile, virtual queues, you know, the park pass reservation system, you know, facial recognition test, your thumbprints, you know, mobile dining, checking interactive magic bands. I mean, it's just too much. Why can't I just go to the park and have a nice time? Why do I need all this technology?
John, you want to field this one?
I'll take care of this one. I mean, you don't need all the technology. Let's be 100% honest. You don't need all this fancy stuff to enjoy a day in the parks. Yes, these advancements in technology, yes, these things, they can make your life easier. At the same point, they can make your life a pain in the ass. The three of us have experienced that many of times. A great example of that is the Rise of the Resistance. With all that, the app constantly crashed all the time from the beginning till the end. And I think the best example of that is the three of us where, what was it, last year we were in Hollywood Studios. We ended up missing, some of us ended up missing the 7 o'clock time frame and tried to get the 1 o'clock time frame. And we got very lucky that it went through on the app, but instantly, right after getting it, the app failed and crashed where we thought we got screwed. Luckily, one of our other folks got the notification that it went through, but technology is not a great thing. I know this is coming from the tech dude here. Technology has its place, but originality and simplicity has its place as well.
So what I'm kind of laughing about, number one, is just that whole story of us trying to get that virtual queue was great. For those who haven't heard the story, I'll really break it down into 30-second version of it. But essentially, we were in line for Tower of Terror, and John hadn't been on Tower of Terror all but maybe once before that.
I think that was with you too.
Yeah, so you were with me on both of the attempts, right? So the second time though, but we're in line, and the wait time said it was like 20 minutes, and we had 40 minutes until it was time to get the virtual queue. So we're like, all right, no problem. Well, we're up to the front of the line and we're looking at our watches and we got like 4.5 minutes and we're like Googling how long is the ride? And it's like, oh, 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So like literally by the time we get off the ride, we sprint outside so we can get reception just so we can get it. We made it by what? 45 seconds, maybe.
Yep.
That was great.
I think it was tight. It was very tight.
And that in one sense is an agreement to Carl, right? It's that. Like there is a point where you're looking at your phone too much and you're not appreciating what's around. But I will say on the flip side to that is that's the most old man argument you've ever made, because on the other side to it is that you're also trying to cater to the younger audience, and you have to start bringing the younger audience around. And the younger audience, they want to look at their phone the whole time. You know, I don't want to, and you don't want to, but they do. You know, that's why Disney Play app and all that stuff.
Yeah. And look, I appreciate that. And for our listeners to know that I am in the high tech business, I am in software and technology. So I'm not adverse to it. It's provided me a very nice life to even spend some of that money enjoying Disney. But what I'm really talking about here is if I'm a Disney fan, I'm afraid to admit that it's too much. I'm going to say, oh, it's cool. It's wonderful. Now I can do this, right? Even when it breaks or doesn't work, or I have challenges with it. If I'm a true fan, I'm not going to admit how crazy it is, because Disney can do no wrong. And that's the whole point of tonight's show, right? If I am really so loyal, I look at Disney through those rose-colored glasses. And even when they have challenges, I don't want to admit it. You know, mobile order, it sounds like a great thing and I'm going to do it, but we know sometimes you go up to mobile order and your stuff has been ready 15 minutes ahead of time and it's cold. And sometimes you show up and you're still waiting 30 minutes for it to show up. And other times it's perfect. But the point is that, you know, it's too much. And then you have these new systems to avoid the queues and the lines. And, there's been a lot of feedback about the new Genie Plus system versus the present one. And I had a client come back to it and ask me some questions about it. He says, I talked to someone who went the week before and they said, you know, you had to have a degree in physics in order to understand and operate this system, right? So it just can be too much for anybody, no matter your fluidity and understanding technology, no matter your age, no matter your acclimation to it, it's just sometimes too much. There's too much work I have to put into it.
The app, I will say, the app, yes, it has some nice features and has some nice stuff. And I feel bad for bashing it again, because creating an app isn't the easiest thing. But just enjoy the parks, what it is. Yeah, like we mentioned, it's designed to make life easy and everything, but just go with the flow. Honestly, it works better sometimes when you do that.
Lastly, I'll bring up another subject that I think that a lot of true hardcore Disney fans are afraid to admit. They might be afraid to admit which one of their parks is their favorite park and which one of the four parks, in their opinion, is the worst park. And they're afraid to admit one way or another because, again, they don't want to offend some of their other friends who are Disney fans. If you are a true hardcore Disney fan, what do you think you have to admit is the favorite park, is the best park?
That's a challenge.
If you're a real Disney-fied person, you know, you may feel pressured to say of the four parks, one is your favorite, right? Or one is the best. But forget favorite, because that's opinionated. All right. The best park is,
it has to be Magic Kingdom,
right?
Yeah, in Orlando.
It's the classic. Yeah. It's the original. It's that simple.
It's the most, right. It's the most visited too. I mean,
And that's what everybody feels the pressure. If I'm a Disney fan, I have to say that. Now look at it, right? Now look at it. Here's the arguments on the other side, right? It's the most difficult park to get to. If I'm driving, I'd park my car and figure out how to get there, right? It's, you know, I can't just walk there. You know, if I want to get really close, I've got to take a bus there rather than a boat or a monorail if I want to avoid two hops of crowds getting in. So it's tougher to get there, right? It is typically, because it is so popular, the most crowded, right? So if it's the most crowded, that's less enjoyable, right? and so you start to look at those factors. And not to mention, if you're a dude, it's more difficult to get a beer or a cocktail there than any other park.
And the ladies, they also appreciate beers and cocktails. I'm just going to throw that out there.
So with all of those, you know, challenges, long lines and crowds and difficult to get into, difficult to get out of, you know, a nightmare on Main Street when you're leaving. And and that stress factor, I can't even get a couple of cocktails. I mean, there's an argument there to do it, but I don't want to admit it, because if I'm a Disney fan, that has to be my favorite park.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that too. I mean, I think I pull back a little bit, because at this point, I think most people would be willing to say that it's okay to say Magic Kingdom or Epcot, right? Because they've both been around for so long. But yeah, I mean, at this point, people will still find an argument for Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom as to why it's not. But truthfully, the longer we go, the more and more Disney fanatics are actually starting to say Hollywood Studios and or Animal Kingdom, which is pretty crazy. But you're right. I mean, you're afraid to say it.
There you go. That's what I'm saying is, look at Animal Kingdom. When we did our ranking for all of the best attractions, you know, three of the top five were in Animal Kingdom from all four parks, right? So that's got to give some credit somewhere, you know, to the fact that there's, you know, this plethora of technology and great attractions there. And now there's been such an investment with Hollywood Studios that they've upped their game, that there's a lot more reasons to go visit there, right? So it's there. And you're right. People do want to say there's a big fan base out there that loves Epcot. But people are afraid to say, you know, at Epcot, the rides really aren't that great. You know, you got a fan club for Figment, John. I think you are president of that fan club. and you got a
CEO and sole member.
And you got, you know, you got a fan club for Living with a Lamb and for Spaceship Earth.
It's a dragon, not a bird, John. Stop flipping birds.
You know, you got a, you have a really hardcore Spaceship Earth, you know, fan club. But when I look at all of those quote unquote attractions or e-tickets or like wow factor, any one of the three other parks edges them out.
I have that debate, but we can save that for another show too. I can debate that with you, but I think
you're a true fan. You're afraid to admit it, Ryan.
I'm not afraid to admit it. I think Epcot's overlooked these days by a lot of park goers. And I think the people who are local overlook it because it's under construction. Oh my God, it's under construction. You're all going to love it when it's done, I'm sure. But you know, you're going to hate it now because they actually had to take the time to build it. But you know, other than that, I'm fine. move along before we start a whole new episode.
Well, there you have it, guy. I think hey, thanks for today's show. This has been a lot of fun. It's taken our conversation in places that we typically don't go. I think for myself, you know, I'm a fan and I'm not afraid to admit anything.
I can't wait for next week's show on why Epcot is better than you give it credit for. That's going to be an amazing topic, Carl.
Yes, I'll just, and to show and prove my point, I'll just have to peek over that wall.
We'll get you a step stool.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media, on Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney, on Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney, on Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.